This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
All right, let's hit some NFL news of the day. Hour number two of the G-Bag Nation. Zach Woolchuck alongside the General Gavin Dotson getting some barbecue right now. He'll be back here in just a second. We got Eric Chiafalo. Brian Broaddus doing some sort of reunion of sorts, dodging bet payoffs. He's now up to two after you had the Jets losing last night. We got Lucius Alexander, Carter Freeman rocking with you. 877-881-1053. Your chances of Cowboys victory as it is official. The injury report has come out here, General, and it is...
Oh, what do we got, Woolchuck?
Out for Micah Parsons, out for Deron Bland. Questionable is Trayvon Diggs with that calf. Eric Kendrick, Zach Martin, Linville Joseph, all listed as questionable as well. So it was 6 to 8 weeks, right, for Deron Bland. Now he's...
Was it 6 to 8 weeks?
I think they initially said 6 to 8 weeks, but they were hoping the shorter side of that.
Yeah, they were thinking the...
And then now you're at, what, 9 weeks?
Yeah.
So this is I mean, the...
It was August, dude.
The setback, whatever he's had here, is something that is concerning me. When you're dealing with that foot, man, I don't know. And the Cowboys have the best in the business with Britt Brown and Jim Maurer, and I'm sure they're getting that thing worked on constantly, and Deron Bland's in good hands. But that is a bummer as he continues to miss a game. And if Diggs can't go... Now you're looking at Andrew Booth's going to have to play. Izzy McQuamu. They just put AO on IR to activate Deron Bland because the 21-day practice window is out. Kalen Carson's going to be good to go. He doesn't have a designation, so he should be back the rookie. But you got Lewis and Carson. Those are going to be your two starting corners. Then after that, I mean, God forbid you have one of your corners go down. I mean, this is really, really thin in that DB room.
You're at code red at this point.
And you'd rather Deron Bland take as much time as necessary. These stress fractures in feet can be incredibly difficult and tricky to recover from. But you're right. And I think as we sit at the 9 week mark now, after, maybe 6 to 8 weeks was optimistic, I think 8 to 10 weeks is a typical recovery time for a stress fracture. But still, you know, taking beyond the minimum now, and as we get into 10, 11 weeks, there's two sides to me. Number one, you don't want this to be the kind of foot injury that all of a sudden is re-aggravated and it goes into the off season at this point, because that would be the case. And I don't think we have any indication of that. Number two, it's just that unfortunate reality is the best thing that could happen as a result of this season is for you to have as good of a draft pick as possible. And these injuries make that happen. You know, I don't think Jerry would ever in any way tank, but maybe the injury gods are actually smiling on you a little bit and helping you be bad enough to draft a meaningful player.
These are starting to pile up in a way where it's like, hey, I mean, even I know Zim's been getting a lot of heat and the defense hasn't been good, but he's doing everything in his power to just try and keep this thing patched up with Band-Aids and rubber bands. And I mean, gosh, he just doesn't have the horses right now. It's hard to line up and play.
It is. It absolutely is. And for the most part, he gets a lot of grace for that, unlike where the offense is, where they haven't been just littered with injuries. Defensively, you have that excuse, but you also have moments where, like last week, it feels like you don't totally understand your own personnel when you're going Donovan Wilson on George Kittle for 3 out of the 4 quarters, and George Kittle is having the best night of his season because, I mean, McQuamu would have been a better player in that scenario. Wanya Thomas ended up being a better player in that scenario. So there are still some Like, that's some coaching
no
issues.
Doubt. Last night, Garrett Wilson, maybe the catch of the season, that one-handed touchdown grab as the Jets knock off the Texans in an ugly Thursday night football game. Possibly a season-saving win there for the Jets. I don't know. I think that's a little bit of an overreaction. I mean,
okay, so they were 2-1 at one point. They lose five games in a row, and now to be sitting at 3-6, just no.
Yeah, me either. No. I'm out. I'm not really buying it.
We've seen so much, you know, I think it's just hopium and a big market team that the media pays attention to. There's nothing there, though.
Well, Adam Schefter, I thought this was pretty brilliant. So he put out a clip of the fumble that ended up happening during that game that was ruled a touchback and the Texans got the ball. But I guess even Adam Schefter's like, I'm not paying for Amazon Prime. I'm not paying to watch football, because he clips the play. And you can see in the corner of it, it says methstreams.com. So now everyone...
Meth?
Yeah, M-E-T-H streams.com.
So he'd rather have meth streams instead of Amazon right there in the corner, okay?
Yeah, so that's the watermark over in the corner.
Cool.
So he didn't, I guess, want to pay for Amazon Prime, so now the internet has taken that, and they're, even Adam Schefter is illegally streaming Thursday Night Football.
You guys have Amazon Prime?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, see,
just for the shipping.
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand why he wouldn't want to.
That's a weird one.
Yeah.
Maybe he just doesn't order anything.
It's pretty awesome.
Well, it's just easier. I think, you know, I've heard once you go down the pirating rabbit hole, it's just so easy that everything is sitting right there for you, you know, and you don't have to go around to different apps and stuff. So I could see just for the convenience of it, he might not have even installed the Amazon video app. He's got Amazon. Yeah.
You said you heard that?
Yeah. I've heard that, you know, you heard that. Chat rooms, you know, you go down that rabbit hole.
It's true.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, there's outstanding things that can come from that.
But he only makes like $9 million a year or whatever.
Yeah, it's so, like, dude, where are you cheaping?
You
got to
cut corners somewhere.
Maybe he just couldn't remember the password. He's like, well, I got to watch the game. This is the only way I could do it. But I thought that was pretty great. Even the great Adam Schefter is saying, no, thank you. I'll stream this game. We do have a lot of injury news for second straight week. Bengals likely going to be without T. Higgins. He's being listed as doubtful for their game against the Raiders. Zach Moss also being listed as doubtful. Their running back, Giants, are hopeful. Running back Tyrone Tracy Jr. can be cleared from concussion protocol. He's been fantastic for them. Dolphins have Tyreek Hill. He's expected to play. Not so much for their defensive lineman, Zach Seiler, or safety Javon Holland. And Amari Cooper, game time decision for the Buffalo Bills with a wrist injury. And nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo
Bills.
So hopefully for Amari, he can go ahead and circle them wagons as well.
For Tracy, it looks like he has cleared the protocol.
Perfect.
So he's expected to play versus Washington. That's fantasy nugget right there.
That is big. Set your lineups accordingly right now. Lamar Jackson also looks like he's going to be able to go. He has missed the last 2 days of practice. He says he's 100% going to play against the Broncos. It wasn't a doubt, just resting his body. It's been a long season, says Lamar. So, hey, Lamar doesn't play, they don't win, and that Denver defense is very, very good. I would have leaned maybe even taking the Broncos in that matchup, but it seems like Lamar's going to be good to go for Baltimore.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's that team, you know, and if he's there, they win. If not, I don't even think that's a 7-win team, 6-win team. So it's huge.
DK Metcalf officially ruled out for Seattle. He's got that MCL sprain. That's another game missed for him. Puka Nacua, that knee injury we talked about yesterday in the show, not believed to be serious. So fingers crossed there for Puka as they play Seattle. That's a game the Rams got. Look, they started the season with injuries last year. Then they became one of the hottest teams in all of football, made the playoffs, lost in the wild card round to a good Lions team. Maybe something similar this year for them. They battle injuries early in the season, get some parts back, but Puka, a big, big piece of that. Vikings will get a boost. TJ Hockenson is back as he got injured at the end of last season, and he is off IR. He's going to make his season debut this week for Minnesota as they take on the Colts, who, of course, will be having Joe Flacco starting at quarterback and not Anthony Richardson.
Suddenly losers of two in a row, your Vikings.
They are. Now, speaking of the Colts, they kind of gave the Heisman to one outstanding draft pick. That would be rookie wide receiver Xavier Worthy. He jumped on with Rich Eisen, and he was talking about his draft night.
So on draft night, I'm in Austin, Texas, in the hills in Westlake. I did my draft party there.
Mm-hmm.
And really, draft day was crazy. I had got a call at like 15, 16, I think it was the Colts, hung up the phone in my face. It was a little crazy. But
What happened?
The Colts called my phone on draft day and hung up the phone.
What? You said hello,
And then that was a click? There was a click?
They said, hello, this is so-and-so with the Colts. And then for the call, like, they stopped talking and they hung up.
Oops. Wow.
So they did. Are you sure there wasn't like a disconnection or?
I'm positive.
Okay. All right.
Positive.
And so then what happened, Xavier?
Then the night going on, end up getting a call from the Chiefs when they traded with Buffalo. I really originally didn't know they traded with Buffalo. So when it was on the clock, I'm seeing the call. I'm like, oh, this is Buffalo. And then I look at the thing and said, KC. I'm like, okay, this is Chiefs. All right, exactly where I want to be.
Man, wow, talk about blessing. A
lucky yeah, life. Like, works out big time. You get to go to Kansas City, but man, Indianapolis doing him dirty.
That is, I love that he just knows that. Like, he could tell by the way the phone hung up on him that it was somebody's thumb intentionally hammering it, and it wasn't a disconnection of sorts. I mean, we've seen guys get prank called before.
Oh, yeah.
I think they call you right back, but I think more than that, maybe I think the Colts called the wrong guy.
I think that.
Oh, they just clicked the wrong Xavier.
Right? Yes, or, you know, it was right. It was two different numbers they had in mind, and they looked down, called the number, and then they realized they're talking with Xavier. They're like, we're not taking him. Yeah.
Oops. Damn it. They ended up drafting his teammate, A.D. Mitchell, in the second round, but woo, they took Laitu Latu, the first defensive player taken there at 14 overall. But man,
I would love to see the text exchanges between Xavier Worthy and his former teammate, A.D. Mitchell, who is now on the Colts. And he's like, dude, I would do anything to trade with you. You get Mahomes. I mean, gosh, that's awesome. We're seeing it all over the place with Amari Cooper leaving the Browns, getting to go play with Josh Allen, Deontay Johnson leaving the Panthers, getting to go play with Lamar Jackson.
Upgrades.
I mean, trades used to be very rare in the NFL, especially midseason trades. Nobody wanted to give up their draft picks. They realized that there was a huge opportunity here. And once that dam burst, the smart teams are making their team significantly better while the season's going on.
It's true.
Hope next time the Cowboys are in position to take advantage of that, they do.
I would. I'm hopeful. Now, I did like what KNC did today, just like floating out, hey, trade deadline is the same day as the election. Is there any chance that you can make a bigger headline than the election? And Jerry just, you know,
his
laughed.
Response is amazing.
Yes. Right.
Yes.
Maybe. Hey, do I want to just screw the election? We're the Dallas Cowboys. Let's go out there and make a big time trade. Maybe that's just a motive.
Yeah. Yeah. Go steal the headlines.
He knows what drives ratings.
Damn right.
It's American sports. And I guess that would be trading Micah. You know, he's probably getting lots of calls. Ooh. Micah to Detroit or something would do it.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I know Detroit is, I mean, Dan Campbell seems to think they're making some kind of move. He was giddy this week taking the podium, talking to the reporters there. Like, I can't say for sure.
He had a wiggle butt.
Yeah, he was.
Look at you. Look
he
at was. You. He's like, a happy coach. He's a happy coach.
Something's happening. We're adding another lion to bite some kneecaps off. Let's go. Lions, by the way, just the third team in NFL history in 54 years to be hit with a weird scheduling quirk. All of their games so far have been indoors. They've yet to play an outdoor game until this week when they go to Lambeau Field. And we know the splits.
Oh,
Jared Goff, much better indoors versus outdoors. So we'll see. Maybe this is a good week to fade the Lions and take the Packers. I don't know. I think last year they did go to Lambeau on a Thursday night and kick Green Bay's ass. So maybe there's nothing here, but haven't played outside yet.
Well, they did a few years ago at the end of the season ending. That was Aaron Rodgers' final game. And they ended the Packers season there when the Packers were playing for the playoffs and the Lions were only playing for pride.
14 of
but
their
that's what the Lions
games.
Do.
Yeah, they do. Hmm. The pride. Okay.
By the way, if you're trading Micah Parsons to the Lions, I still need whatever the fair trade compensation is. I still need like a petty third thrown in there.
So three ones
for the
third.
Disrespect.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen. DJ Moore was pretty critical about that. Hand the ball off to the offensive lineman.
Oh, the Bears.
They ran of the Bears, yeah. And I guess he got in some trouble for just being honest, and this was the exchange that he had yesterday.
How do you feel that's received by, or how is it received by the coaching staff, just from when you voiced what you said about the Doug Kramer play and all of that? How do coaches receive that?
I mean, we all talked about it, and me and Floos talked about it with the captains, and just got to stay in house next time. I mean, I'm not going to say sorry for what I said, but at the same time, it should have just stayed in house, but I said what I said.
Is that kind of the meeting? Is that when you guys had that captain's meeting with Floos, was that something he tried to express, keeping stuff in house?
Yeah, and going forward, that's probably going to be what it is. I mean, stuff slip, and I mean, I answered the question, I mean, truthfully.
There you go.
It was a stupid play. I think the rest of the country looked at that and said that was a stupid play. What do you want me to do? I'm not going to take the bullet for this guy.
You got to own it as a coach. He's right. That was a stupid play. No need to handle it in-house. My bad for the dumb call, right?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And the dumb call, trying their hardest.
The dumb call was made outside of the house.
These players are out here risking damn CTE and things going spinal. You know, and I'm calling up crap plays.
And right. You let the entire neighborhood see what you just did in the front yard. You made one of the worst decisions ever, and you did it in the front yard in front of the entire neighborhood.
Unbelievable.
It was a block party going on, and that's what you did.
It was. Shout out to DJ Moore. All right, there's your NFL news of the day.
We'll interview Nick Harris in front of God and everybody coming up next here in the Jeep.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back Nation. Welcome back, Nation. It's time to talk with Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, here about the Cowboys, all the storylines about them, how healthy are they, how do they match up with the Falcons. Segment of the Nation's brought to you by Window Nation. Go to windownation.com/cowboys. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214-817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. And a good afternoon, Nick. How the heck are you?
Doing well, guys. How are y'all?
Wonderful. Thank you. And there's so much to talk about here with you. Thanks for joining us. And we'll get to the matchups. But first things first, what's been your perspective this week on the D's Nuts saga?
Yeah, definitely an interesting one. I've questioned to use that phrase in the newspaper, and I've had to find AP-style D's Nuts over the course of this week, too. So my Google search thinks I'm all over the place this week.
Well, quite a story there and quite a frustrating night, I think, for a lot of people. What'd you think about Trayvon Diggs playing and, you know, how much more physical he was, where he is in his, you know, comeback from that injury?
Yeah, I honestly thought he did take a step forward in that game against the 49ers. I think he's still finding his way back, though. And Mike McCarthy even admitted that earlier in the week. He said it was fair to kind of assume that, you know, Trayvon is still trying to get his feet completely back under him and the comeback from that ACL injury that he suffered a year ago. But you definitely want to see the turnovers start to come back in Trayvon Diggs' repertoire. You know, we haven't seen that yet in the entire defensive outlook. Obviously, Deron Bland not being in the equation affects that as well. But Trayvon, you know, he got that big contract off the legs of having those double-digit interceptions back a few years ago. So you would like to see that turnover ability come back for Diggs. That's what makes him so special in this defense. And so I think whenever you start to see that come back, I think that's when everybody can kind of look around the room and be like, okay, I think Trayvon, what we saw before the injury, is now back too.
And what about his calf, though? This morning with the guys, Jerry said that it was a torn calf. Mike saying he had a pretty good little practice today and he'd be a game-time decision. Do you think Trayvon will play Sunday?
Yeah, it's truly looking like a game-time decision. Tomorrow's practice that they do on Saturdays before the team heads out to Atlanta, that'll be able to determine a lot. And then they'll work him out pregame and try to get an understanding of where he's at before the Atlanta game. But injury report just came out. It looks more like a laundry list. There's a lot of guys that are questionable and a couple of guys that are out. One of those is Deron Bland. So they need a presence at corner, and Trayvon Diggs is kind of their only hope there. So if he can't go, and you're looking at a situation on the outside where you're maybe relying on Israel McQuamu or Andrew Booth or having to elevate a guy from the practice squad and either Josh Butler or Keemon Hall, it's definitely trying to get all the assets and into the middle and figuring out how to make it work if Trayvon can't go too.
Next man up, Kemon Hall, North Texas, Mean Green. Let's go, baby. Come on. It's your time. It's your time. Nick Harris with us here in the G-Bag Nation. You know, you mentioned the Diggs contract, and that was something where I was doing posts with Brian on Sunday. And, you know, we talk about the laundry list of things that we can criticize the team for and what's not going well. But they went ahead and they draft and develop, and they're all about, say, you know, bringing back and re-signing their own. You look at the guys they've given second and third contracts to, they're just not performing right now. And I wonder your take on that moving forward for the Cowboys, where these are players that they've identified as foundational pieces, and they're not really living up to their side of that.
Yeah, I think it's a circumstantial basis. I think if you look at the case of, you know, Trayvon Diggs or Terrence Steele, both of those guys have been, you know, coming off injuries the last couple of years. Granted, that contract was given to Terrence Steele after the injury, but you certainly look at that one. I think it's probably one that stands out when you bring up that statement there, Zach. But I think whenever you look at Dak, whenever you look at CD's case, it's still early for them as far as, you know, how much time they have left on their contracts and things of that nature. But I also think about the safety room and Malik Hooker, Donovan Wilson. You know, those are guys that have not performed well this season. Those are guys that the Cowboys have given second contracts to since they brought them in, brought them into the building. So it's definitely a situation where you would like to see those guys perform a little bit better. And you wonder how much hesitancy whenever these second and third contracts do start coming around again next offseason, that if there's any hesitancy from the front office to maybe pull triggers on some of those, especially with guys that have injury history. So, I think it's a fascinating case study, but I think it's pretty circumstantial too. I think you can look at each guy in a vacuum, understand what they've done or haven't done since those new contracts have been agreed to. And I think there's probably a trending line somewhere along the lines of that.
How surprised are you about the Bland return being so delayed?
Yeah, surprised. It had sounded like he was going to be, trending in the right direction before that Lions game, before the bye week. And then that setback that he suffered on that Thursday right before the game, he went from being limited, and then DNP. And that's kind of what we've seen since. And so they're trying to slowly work him back into where he was right before that week. And I think honestly, they just sent him out a little too early. And fortunately they didn't have to use a roster spot all the way until this week, but if they can't get him onto the field next week against the Eagles, then that roster spot is starting to become, you know, a little bit of a liability as far as when they could have brought him back. So I'm definitely surprised.
Nick Harris, Star Telegram here with you talking Cowboys. Did I just lose my mic? You guys can hear me? I can't hear me.
Check.
I got you. I can hear you.
Are we on? Guys, can I get... Can anybody hear anything? Carter, can you hear me? You can hear me. Good. Okay, we cannot hear anything. All right, but we do have...
It's okay. We just lost our... Nick, boom, we're back. Thank you. Woo! We're back, baby. We're back.
That was wild. All righty.
I was maybe losing my mind a little bit.
I'm sorry, Nick. It's not you, it's us.
Okay, Nick, has Rico recovered from that nuclear grade fever that suddenly overcame him last weekend?
Yes, it is all good. He found the Tylenol bottle. He's working towards playing this week. He'll be ready to go on Sunday.
Okay, now, how about, do you think the Cowboys have a chance of stopping this Falcons defense with all these guys that are out? I think this might be one of those no-punt kind of days for the Dirty Birds.
You said Falcons defense. Did you mean Falcons offense, though?
Yeah, I guess. Yes, that's
okay,
what I
yeah.
meant. Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted Thank to make you. Sure. Yeah, no, the Falcons offense has certainly got it's certainly got some playmakers. I mean, you look around the running game. We could start there. Obviously, the Cowboys have had their fair issues in defending the run, and it's a talented 1-2 punch in Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier. It's going to put a lot of stress on those first two levels, specifically the linebacking core. You know, if you can dedicate a lot of resources in the secondary to stopping these guys through the air, which if you don't have Trayvon Diggs and Deron Bland, that's only going to make it that much more difficult. But if you can dedicate some resources in the secondary to taking those guys out of the equation, then that can allow that linebacking core really focused on just being able to stop the run. But the number one thing I am looking at going into this game, Kyle Pitts is having his best four-game stretch of his entire career since he started with the Falcons a few years back. And after the game that Donovan Wilson had against George Kittle a week ago, specifically in defending crossing patterns across the formation and trying to account for speed across the middle with those big guys, Kyle Pitts does the same exact thing, but with a little bit longer strides, and that kind of translates into speed as well. So if early in the game Wilson is having struggles with those crossing patterns, trying to guard a guy like Kyle Pitts, or if Darnell Mooney, using his speed, is able to get across the field. I wonder if they rotate Wandae Thomas in earlier in the game than they did last week against the 49ers. I think that's definitely one thing to keep an eye on.
Dak was asked about running this week, and the stat is pretty crazy. I mean, Joe Flacco, who isn't even playing the majority of the season, has got more rushing yards than he does.
And he's 50 years old.
Right. I mean, do you think that's something that is just no longer in Dak's repertoire that he just doesn't want to do, or is this even a team mandate? It seemed like Jerry on our station doesn't want him to do it.
Yeah, it's a fascinating look. And, you know, we were able to talk to Dak about that yesterday. And you even look at last season specifically, and he was using his legs so much more than he is this year. So it's not even really a situation of, like, you having to look back to college when he was this legit dual threat quarterback or even early in his career. You could just look back to 2023 and there's a clear difference. I think Dak can do a lot more. And it's not even necessarily rushing yards, but it's just escaping the pocket and getting outside of pressure and trying to extend the play a little bit. That's when the Cowboys were able to find a lot of success last year, was when Dak was going off script with his receivers and extending plays outside of, you know, that 2.3 threshold that they try to operate under. So I think he definitely needs to use it more for this offense to be a little bit more effective, especially given that, you know, you got two rookies up front, you got a regressing Zach Martin, you got a Terrence Steele that's still trying to figure things out. If Dak Prescott can escape pressure and extend plays, scrambling to his left or right, and that can help open up this offense so much more. So it's got to happen. You know, whether that's in his repertoire still or not, it's something that they need from him. You know, it's a big reason why his paycheck is going to be what it's going to be whenever it does kick in and he becomes the NFL's highest paid player.
Nick, does this feel like kind of the final straw for the offense? If they can't get going versus this Falcons defense, you have to feel like this is just, they're not going to be able to really get it going at all. Dak and Lamb are talking about being now finally on the same page. Something's clicked. I know Dak is bullish on this week's game plan, so it's like, and he's calling it a must win.
Yeah, it certainly is a must win. If you fall down and you go 3-5 with the Eagles and Texans on the horizon, then the Commanders, I mean, you're only looking at stiffer challenges moving forward. But I do think whenever you bring that up, I think about the offensive line going up against an Atlanta defensive line that has only given that has only generated 6 sacks on the season coming into this week. If the offensive line cannot find consistency against that defensive line, it's a Matthew Judon who has just not found his rhythm with the Falcons yet. A Grady Jarrett that does not look like a Grady Jarrett, and then it's just kind of a names around those guys. They have not been able to find any sort of establishment in the pass rush game. If they are able to get home and get to Dak Prescott like other teams have against this offensive line, then yeah, I'm going to kind of throw my hands up at this offensive line and just be like, man, this is going to be a tough work in progress throughout the season. So I think that it would be more of an indictment against the O-line rather than the entire offense, just because I still have a lot of respect for some of those guys that they have in the secondary, guys like A.J. Terrell and Jesse Bates.
Nick, I've seen a lot of spooky things over the last 24 hours. I don't think I've heard or seen anything as scary as Dak's new contract hasn't even started yet.
Yeah, for sure. And if the interceptions keep coming along, then that's only going to get scarier. But if he's able to find the rhythm that he found in the last 10 games last season, then maybe it's
not as scary.
Who knows? Let's go.
I like that. That's a good note to end on, Nick. And enjoy the game and have a great weekend.
Yeah, appreciate it, fellas. Y'all have a great one.
Nick Harris, Star Telegram here. The G-Back Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Okay, Krusty's Corners brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. We'll Krusty it up with you coming up next. The G-Back Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's time now for Krusty's Corner. Send Brian some love on social. Let him know he's missed. I know that would make his day. You know, and the Corners brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Wolchuk, you're our substitute Krusty for the day.
Should I just tell like some random story and take up the first 5 to 8 minutes of the segment and then get into what we're actually going to do in like true Krusty fashion?
Yeah, well, make sure you save some time to cape for Jerry.
You're right. I got to put my Jerry cape on. We'll talk with Stephen Jones about 420. I wasted money on Halloween candy. I didn't get a single trick-or-treater in our neighborhood, from what I was told.
We had to double up. We got it blown out like the first hour and a half, had to run back up to the dollar store and reload.
Are you serious, dude?
It was great. Your neighborhood's the real deal. Bravo to you guys. I couldn't pull into the main entrance. I tried. It was so backed up. I was like, I'm not going to get home for 25 minutes if I sit here and try to go the quarter mile this way. So I circled around to the back, got to Remy in time to get her some trick-or-treating done. And it was glorious because after about 12 houses, She said, "Dad, I got enough candy. I'm ready to go home."
Nice, dude.
I said, "That's my girl.
That's there my girl." So what was the candy tax looking like? Do we get good stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did. And you're in a king-size neighborhood, right? Isn't that HOA regularly? We had some just absolute superstars where they got this whole walkway entry with a tunnel. And then you actually walk into their house and go on like a tour of trick-or-treating where you're picking up like rubber duckies and glow sticks. And,
wow.
You know, candy bags. You got the tamales. You got the Trompo around the corner from the Taxco taco folks.
Jeez,
it was outstanding.
That's a full-on neighborhood block party.
It
That's
is.
Communal.
Absolutely.
That like, is just
I would
awesome.
Say over five houses had music going and like just dozens of people hanging out in their front yard.
Incredible.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to some bold predictions, shall we, for this Falcons-Cowboys game. If you got some bold predictions, 877-881-1053, let us know. 203 says, same here. I just had two kids with a lightsaber battle in my driveway, but they didn't even want any candy.
They didn't want candy?
So, I don't know.
That's surprising.
Maybe they were candied out. But being Star Wars, you know, Jedis for Halloween, I don't think that ever gets old.
I think every kind of area has their certain neighborhoods and communities that go hard, and people flock to those. And so they'll leave behind their own community to go jump aboard another one that they know is hotter. So, like, I guess my neighborhood's not that hot.
Yeah.
Because it was pretty dead once again, two years running now.
You're right. Probably about 2 miles up the road, there was a long line. I saw a lot of car headlights. That's probably where everybody was. And they just said, screw this neighborhood over here. But I had the good candy. But next year, I think I'm going to save the money. I'm just not going to get it.
What'd you do with the candy?
I've still got it at the house. I'll probably have to bring it up here.
Yeah.
You should have brought it up today.
What are you doing, dog?
Yeah, I should have.
Really should have done that today.
Because I don't really want it in my house, especially if we're going to go.
I want it in my mouth. Now, I'll tell you what, there is a downside to it. Not only that, but
pause.
You know, there's all kinds of stuff that you got to be on the lookout for. Like the intoxicated parents. You know, they will gather in sidewalks as you're trying to come through with your tiny toddlers who literally cannot walk on the grass or off a curb without falling. And they're just sitting there with their, you know, Yeti cups full of booze, hammered, you know, 8:15 in the evening.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Thirsty Thursday, man. It's not my fault that Halloween fell on a thirsty Thursday.
Damn you.
That's right.
All right, here's a bold prediction for you. You think this is going to happen? Falcons rush for 150-plus yards as a team. Bijan has two TDs.
Yeah, I think all of that is very, very plausible.
Yeah, that's just a good prediction. I don't think there's a damn
that's
thing
not even bold. That's not even bold at this point. It's like, that's probably likely. Maybe the Bijan two touchdowns. Like, if he gets one, I think.
That feels pretty standard here.
Bold starts, I think, at 49 points. You know, a full seven touchdowns. Okay. Bold starts with not punting.
All right, let's change this rating, these bold predictions, if they're bold or are they not.
Yeah, I think
bold or not.
Bold is like they score points on every single offensive possession.
Mm-hmm. No punting. For the Falcons?
Yeah, the Falcons score on every single possible possession.
Cowboys offense, here's one for you. CeeDee Lamb continues to find his all-pro form. He gets his second straight 145-plus receiving day.
What was that one again?
CeeDee Lamb gets 145-plus yards receiving.
I'll buy that. I think that this Falcons defense is bad enough. I think the Cowboys are going to score.
Yeah, I mean, some of the receivers you look at against Atlanta this year, Devontae Smith, 7 for 76 in a TD. Rashee Rice, 12 for 110 in a TD. Evans, 5 for 62, two touchdowns. DK, 4 for 99 in a touchdown. Like, this should be Dak to CeeDee maybe every play.
Yeah.
Yeah. That should be the offense moving forward. It really should be. And you just know that there's going to be two plays where they're not on the same page and it's going to be interceptions. But those are going to happen anyways. So you might as well throw the interception when you're throwing it to Lamb instead of watching me, you're throwing an interception when you're throwing it to Turpin.
Okay,
give me a break.
I got a bold prediction for you, Wolchuk.
All right, this is bold or not, Chief.
No member of the Cowboys organization overreacts to a regular question in the postgame.
Whoa.
It's all status quo this week?
Yeah.
You know what? That's pretty damn bold. Because if they lose, they're going to be 3-5 and things are going to start to continue to unravel.
And the idea has gone viral, you know?
Right.
You know, now Jerry, Mike, Trayvon, star players are doing it. You look at your phone, you see trash being talked, you wish a mofo would walk into that room and ask you a question about it. You're going off on it.
Shut up, bitch.
But they're going to reel it in this week, huh?
Yeah,
that is bold.
Yeah, I do think they're going to reel it in. That's my bold prediction.
Okay, what would you think would be, if they don't reel it in, like the top excuse for Mike McCarthy after this loss? Injuries? Penalties?
I think the
execution.
Just inexperienced overall.
The young execution players. For sure.
He's trying to slide in that the front office has left him a bad team, you know? That's what all the execution talk and inexperience talk is all about.
Yeah, I mean, you had a bunch of players walk out. Now, regardless on if we wanted them to bring back said players, you still needed to replace them, and they didn't really do a great job. Right. And the depth is showing now of replacing the guys that you lost. I mean, Dorrance Armstrong, Fowler. I mean, the list goes on. And really,
the injuries have really made it horrible.
Oh, it's decimating, especially on defense. There's no doubt about that. Okay, how about this one? Offense headlines the day. Both teams score 27 plus points.
Yeah, lock it up. I don't know what the over under is, but I'd make a wager on the over for this one.
I do think it's bold. Anytime you're going to predict 27 points for the Cowboys right now, that is bold. Even versus the Falcons defense, it doesn't matter. That is bold.
This is a pretty crazy stat. Atlanta's given up 110 points over their last four games. Cowboys have given up 109. So if you think the Cowboys' defense has been bad, which they have, Atlanta really has. To put that into perspective, they've been a point worse than you. So these are two really bad defensive football teams.
Mm-hmm.
Really bad.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is all time. I will have a football's finest Falcons stat of the day for you. And they're struggling in a huge, huge way. That pass rush is nada. They might as well be playing with zero guys on their D-line. They're just dropping 11 into coverage.
Morning News has the keys to victory. One of them is go wild and get creative. Well, what would that look like for you if they were to go wild and get creative?
That looks like a double reverse Turpin loss for 9 on first
down. Yeah, we don't want crazy trick plays. We just want what they do more consistently. There were a handful of plays against San Francisco where I was like, man, maybe they went across the hall and decided to bring in some motion and creativity. It's in there. Just run what's in your playbook.
Yeah, there's 12% of your playbook that involves motion at the snap, at least in terms of the playbook that you were using last week in San Francisco. Let's make that more like 36%.
Yeah.
Or 48% or something. Let's add it up, because there's a couple of plays there. The two CeeDee Lamb touchdowns are drawn up
absolutely
nicely. If you could just do that more than twice a game.
Outside of CeeDee Lamb, who is the other offensive player that has a good day?
I always want to say Ferguson, but I think Tolbert certainly could be that guy. But this is going to be a Rico Sunday.
Rico Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be
on top.
That's right.
Yeah,
the Dirty Birds.
I would like to believe the coaching staff has said, okay, we've done this for a couple of weeks now. Clearly, we should go back to Rico, right? You know, we tried what you wanted, but I think this is a Jerry double down on Zeke type of season, because, you know, if we're not going to be good, at least we're going to be recognizable with so-called star players on TV. I think that matters to Jerry. So I probably have to go with Jake Ferguson. I think this is going to be one of those Jake hurtling defenders type of outings.
I like the Fergie pick. I'm hopeful for that. I guess I'll go Jalen Tolbert just on the other side and hope somebody else can take some pressure off of CD. I want to play the crusty audio clip of the day. This would be from Up and Adams, Kay Adams' show. Yesterday she had John Randall, former Minnesota Vikings defensive tackle, and she also asked the question, like we did for the top 10 yesterday, scariest player you ever played, and an answer that is near and dear to all of our hearts.
Who's
scariest player?
Who's a nightmare?
I would say Larry Allen for the Cowboys. We used to battle. I got my 100th sack over Larry Allen, but Larry was such a different player because he didn't talk. And I would try him multiple times and try to get something out of him, but he was such a different guy, but so strong. I mean, he bench pressed 692 pounds, and he said we would battle. I would get a sack. He would knock me down. I would come back. But facing Larry Allen, you had to be very precise on where you stepped. You had to make sure that you didn't swim Larry Allen, because if you tried to swim him, you could maybe have a rib or two broken. But man, he was such a dominant player, but I always made sure that when I played Larry Allen, I was at my best.
An absolute legend. Rest in peace to Larry Allen.
Yeah, that puts it in an incredible perspective. You try to get your arm over that dude, and he's going to pop you in the chest so hard that you got broken bones. That's fear. Fear is not being embarrassed by a slick running back or quarterback. You know, fear is like, actually, this dude can hurt you with technique.
Right. Yeah. Yes. And then after he buries you into the dirt, he'll spit some snuff into your face.
Dude.
Because that's just the kind of guy that Larry Allen was.
Unbelievable. Just an absolute monster. RIP to Larry Allen. It is
still doesn't scare me. It's more than Aaron Hernandez.
No.
Right. Still doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody else is fighting for second. You're right.
Yeah, everybody.
Lucius.
Yeah. I mean, Aaron Hernandez wants to invite you to the VIP and hang out all night. Hell no.
I'm good, man. You have
fun. God, what did I do?
He takes your no as disrespect.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe you shouldn't say no. But, oh, gosh, that's a terrifying thought.
I feel like I need to go into witness protection the moment he invites me.
It's all over after
for sale
that.
Sign is up. Panthers did just beat the Dallas Stars in Finland for the NHL Global Series 6-4. Florida gets the win. It was 6-2. Maverick Bork and Jamie Benn with a couple of late goals for the Stars to make the score look respectable. But they'll be back tomorrow, early puck drop at 11 a.m. our time. And hopefully the Stars can even up this NHL Global Series before they come back home.
No Zebra report, huh? Krusty?
No Zebra report, no. Well, he'll do that on Sunday, I'm sure.
Yes, he will. It's Steve Novak, and I know nothing about him.
Nobody does.
Did you feel like Nick Harris was transitioning from young and upcoming talented media member to maybe a little crusty himself with how he wanted nothing to do with the D's nuts topic?
Yeah, it's the, I mean, he works for the Telegram.
I mean, is this guy even 30 yet?
No,
he's giving me like middle-aged man energy coming over, and I love Nick. I do.
No, he's incredible. Yeah.
I was just surprised.
He's one of us.
I mean, it's newspaper vibes, I guess.
Absolutely. I mean, I thought Steven had a great disappointed dad reaction to Hagee's question.
Not everybody can be Mac Engel.
That's right.
Not everybody.
We got a sports hodgepodge coming up next, Chief. Where you taking?
We have a Clay Thompson hair. Stat of the day, and Mike Tyson is starting to reel me in, boys, for this fight next year in the Nation. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.